nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Egan?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
May I have the floor, please, Madam Chair?
Yes, I called on you.
Thank you. Okay, the changes to and approval of the agenda per Council Rule 3.4. I move to adopt the council-approved agenda per Council Rules of Procedure. Do I have a second?
I'll second you, Pat.
Okay.
Copies of this agenda are available. The changes from the posted agenda are consent agenda after new business in accordance with Council Rule 3.12. Committee assignments are shown. Item 7.5, the ordinance amending the budget to reflect the unexpected grant expenditure is added, as was requested at our prior meeting on June 15th. A vote of the council set a process for building our meeting agenda. This process is in our council rules and is designed to help the council have an efficient meeting. It is common for cities to have a process for creating the agenda. Some of these rules are cited on the top of the agenda printed for tonight's meeting. Attorney Kohler, could you please advise us on the posting of the agenda to the website? Is the city obligated to build the agenda according to the council rules?
This is not appropriate.
Excuse me, I have called on Attorney Kohler.
This is not
she has the floor.
We have an attorney.
I second Pat's calling on the Attorney Kohler. Thank you.
There was no motion made, and there was no invite by the council. That needs the majority of the council to ask this lady to come up and speak.
Who is not recognized at the city of Black Diamond?
Attorney Kohler, could you please advise us on the posting of the agenda to the website?
May I ask, who called her and emailed her to go over this information? I didn't see anything come up before council to ask another attorney to get involved in anything. So, Councilmember Pepper,
you sent at 10:45 last night your revised agenda. So I believe that you had a motion and a second to accept your revised agenda. So why don't you go ahead and finish that motion?
We do have that motion on the floor, and it is seconded, and I have asked Attorney Kohler to answer the two questions that I asked.
Councilmember Edelman.
Okay, wait, just a moment, please.
I would like for us to postpone this until we have our presentation done by our representative from King County. He's come all the way in from Seattle to talk about the Veterans, Seniors, and Human Services levy, and then we can begin, after he's finished and he's allowed to go home, we can start the bickering again. I object to the fact that you have brought this attorney in. You're hijacking the meeting. The mayor is the presiding officer.
Attorney has been hired for legal services. I, too, am looking forward to the presentation. Now, if Attorney Kohler may please, she has the floor.
Councilmember
please
Pepper,
have her answer the questions.
You agreed to have this presentation today, and it really is inappropriate for you to do this at this point. I would say that we have a presentation today, and if you don't want to accept your agenda, that's fine, but we have a presentation and they're next up on the agenda.
Attorney Kohler, could you please advise us on posting of the agenda to the website?
Yes, well, you have the rules of procedure.
Point of order.
No, she's not out of, excuse me, no. She is not out of order.
You are out of order.
I have called on Attorney Kohler to answer two questions.
Point of order.
And
that
she
is
going
not
to do
appropriate.
That.
You
yes,
can
it
do
is.
It. You can do it during public comments.
No, we're going to do it now.
No, excuse me, Councilmember Pepper. She sent us a memorandum with her point already of stating what she wanted. What is the point for her to do it now?
Especially since it was considered attorney-client privilege. She needs to sit down. You need to be quiet, and we need to proceed with the meeting. I think that Attorney Kohler could have answered the questions in the time that has taken to do this. Now, please give Attorney Kohler the respect of giving her the floor.
No, we will not, because she is not our attorney, and she has no right to be here. She has no right to take over, so she needs to sit down. Unless she's going to talk, then I encourage everybody to get up and speak as well.
Attorney Kohler, could you please advise us on the posting of the agenda to the website?
We already got an attorney-client privileged message from her today that went to all counsel.
Yes, and she is going to say,
for the record,
the answer to the question,
you
please.
You sent your agenda at 10:45 last night. That is not timely. Our agenda was posted last Friday. You sent your agenda out at 10:45 last night, which means I didn't see it, and none of the other council members would have seen it until this morning, because most people don't sit around on the computer at 10:45 p.m.
Attorney Kohler, could you please advise us on the posting of the agenda to the
point
website?
Of order.
You are
point
not,
of
not
out of
you're
order.
Not the presiding officer. You are
the
not the presiding
Kohler
officer.
Attorney Kohler has the floor.
She
order.
Does not.
Yes, no, she does.
I appeal the decision of the chair. Can we take a vote?
Sure. Go ahead. Take a vote. Okay.
Drawings. Finally, at least it's something the way you're supposed to do it.
So,
all right. Okay.
So, does the chair want to take the vote? I'm appealing the decision.
What is the motion?
The motion is, do you agree with the chair in her decision that Attorney Kohler doesn't have the floor, or does Attorney Kohler have the floor?
All you have to do is make a motion that you want to have.
I'll make a motion.
Attorney,
make a motion that makes sense.
I make a motion that Attorney Kohler be allowed, that Attorney Kohler address the council on the two questions that I have asked her.
And I'll second you.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Attorney Kohler.
Okay. Well, the council has authority delegated to it by the revised Code of Washington to set its own agenda. And that statute that does that is 35A12120. It has the authority to establish its own rules. That would be the council's rules of procedure. It also has the authority to establish the agenda.
So may I ask
yes, but don't you think it needs
excuse
to be timely?
Me. Excuse
it
me.
Needs
she has
to
the
be
floor.
Timely. We have
excuse
rules.
Excuse me. We have voted, and Attorney Kohler has the floor. Please let her finish.
Are you giving her unlimited time?
Please do not interrupt her.
Are you giving her unlimited time?
I think I can wrap this up in a few minutes.
Please do, because you're preaching to the choir. We already understand all that. We have had five attorneys review these rules.
Okay, so
question first.
Excuse
though.
Me.
You
are interrupting, and she has the right to speak her piece. Please allow
right.
that.
Councilmember Edelman. Dee Dee.
I have a right as a council member to ask a question. And since she is here on behalf of us, correct, I have a right to ask that question. So we have already listened to Pat Pepper and Erica Morgan read these RCWs and present them at every meeting. So what do you have new that they have not already stated?
Well, you know, I'm sort of in an information vacuum about that, Councilman Dee Dee, unfortunately. So I don't know what they've said before. But what I can say just very quickly, the council under RCW 35A12120 has authority to establish rules of procedure and to establish the agenda for council meetings. It adopted rules of procedure which require the city clerk, after approval of the agenda by two council members, she does the draft agenda, and then she must post the agenda, and that is part of her duties. And the mayor is given the authority in the municipal code to enforce all laws, all ordinances, in all resolutions. The rules of procedure were adopted by resolution. So the city is bound by those rules, And the council has unequivocally the authority to establish rules of procedure, and they need to be followed. The most fundamental principle of due process is that city officials have to follow the law. And it erodes confidence in bodies such as this when elected officials and appointed officials whimsically decide to comply with some laws but not with other laws. So I think it's really important to give, to post that agenda, and there's a statute that require, that I've cited in my memorandum, that requires that agendas be posted online. And it's really crucial that members of the public have a right to know what's going to be on the agenda so that they can prepare to intelligently address the issues that are before council. So,
point of order.
I think the thing that you don't understand is they don't post the agenda timely. They take the agenda that we do and change it all around. And the other thing is that there were two council members that approved the agenda. It can't just be two people. There are two other council members on this council, and they approved the agenda. So I just think it's about time that you sit down. We've heard this dog and pony show before. We've had three attorneys tell
Point
us that those rules are illegal. There are too many things that conflict with state law. They are illegal.
Well, and I've got to say, after writing my memo, I looked at a memorandum that had been prepared by Talmadge and Fitzgerald, which is a well-respected municipal law firm. And Talmadge and Fitzgerald reached the same conclusion that I did. So
They did not. They said several things were contrary to state law, that you ought to change this, you ought to do that. Maybe you should read that more carefully.
Excuse me. Point of order.
What's your point?
My point of order is this is a person who is speaking to the council, answering some questions in a fair-minded way, and you need to treat this person with respect.
Once you learn some respect, maybe I'll learn some respect. We've heard this all before.
So to conclude, when you adopted Resolution 171146, you indicated that staff was supposed to bring back to council a revised budget, and presumably council, by saying that it was going to take
budget or agenda. What are you talking about?
At the last, not 1746, but at the last council meeting, you adopted a resolution. And in paragraph 3 of that resolution, I believe, you stated that staff was supposed to bring to council a revised budget that would have allowed.
It's here.
That would have allowed.
We sent it out this afternoon.
Oh, okay, good.
It's here.
Okay.
At 5:20.
Member Didi.
So I just have another question for you. So the council as a body, we vote on if we're going to have an attorney look over anything, if we're going to spend the taxpayers' money. So my question is to you, who ordered you to go and look at Talmadge's thing, memorandum, and all the council rules, the two different council rules, and go through all of that? And who is paying your bill for all of that?
Well, presumably the city of Black Diamond, because they signed.
Who signed your contract? Who signed your contract?
Janie, but who ordered you to do that? So we may ask as a body for our city attorney to go do something for us, but it's as a body. None of us up here said we want Jane Kohler as an attorney to look over our council rules and to do this again, even though we know Fitzpatrick already did it and we've had several. So I can ask the question to the council, Councilmember Weber, Councilmember Pepper, Councilmember Morgan, was there a vote on that to have this lady do that at the dais?
No.
As I recall, we voted on a resolution to hire Glenn Associates and Kohler Law to be our city attorney. And they actually have a contract. They've actually been voted on.
We voted
it over here. I understand that our mayor does not want to agree that there is a majority, and when a majority votes, that's the vote of the city. I understand that, but that doesn't make it any less the case.
She said she didn't want to be the city.
Correct.
I want to clarify. I am not serving as a city attorney. You do not have any provision in your code for the appointment of a city attorney. I am providing legal services pursuant to a contract, as is Mr. Glenn.
A council needs to do an ordinance to get its own city attorney. A council needs an ordinance that states that they have the right to do that. We do not have an ordinance that states that.
No,
and if the council wants to do it, then by all means, they can do an ordinance that states that the council has the right to hire an attorney.
Are there any further questions about the agenda?
I have a question.
Contrary to law.
No, it is true.
I would like to know, Ms. Kohler.
It is contrary to law.
Pat Pepper, I assume, signed the contract with you. The mayor has not.
Correct.
What authority does Pat Pepper, with a made-up title of council president and no budget, have the authority to hire you?
Councilman Edelman, it's a contract decision. The council has contract authority. And
they do not have signature authority.
And there is an RCW, and I'd be glad to email that RCW to you tomorrow. If the mayor declines to sign a resolution or a contract that has been passed by the, it's not a resolution, but a contract that has been approved by the council, another member of the council can sign it. And I'll be glad to provide you with that authority
tomorrow.
Well,
I'd be interested in seeing that. But
yes.
I also want to know that at our next council meeting, I will bring forward the ordinance to hire the city attorney. And we deserve, again, we deserve better than someone who's been suspended by the Bar Association.
Point of order.
What?
Any other questions?
Any other questions? No.
Thank you, Attorney Kohler, for answering those two questions.
Okay, there is a motion and a second on the floor to adopt your amended budget.
Our amended agenda.
I'm sorry, amended agenda.
Yeah.
Don't jump forward. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
So the next item on the agenda is we have a guest speaker about Veterans and Human Services by Leo Floor. Thank you for coming tonight.
Mayor, may I do an introduction?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, I want to apologize that you had to witness this, because this is our life and has been for 18 months, and it's an embarrassment to some of us up on the dais. So anyway, that being said, thank you for coming, because I know you come from Seattle and it's a really horrendous drive. For those that might be listening and for our public that are here, I requested this presentation, and the subject tonight is Veterans, Seniors, and Human Services Levy. And Leo has a presentation that he's crafted for us. The current, and I'm probably going to rain on your parade, it's going to run out in December. So this is, I want our citizens to be aware of what's going on and the focus on the seniors now. So thank you, Leo.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name is Leo Floor, and I do work at King County inside of our Department of Community and Human Services, and I manage the current Veterans and Human Services Levy, and then I'm operating the process to propose renewal potentially of a levy if the county council and the regional policy committee both decide to present voters with a measure in the November election this year to consider a renewal of the levy. Just by way of quick introduction of the current levy, in 2005, the voters of King County by 58% did approve a ballot measure that created the first Veterans and Human Services levy. And then in 2011, voted by 69% to renew the Veterans and Human Services levy. And as the council member mentioned, at the end of this year, the current levy, which is the second iteration, will expire. The current levy is really structured around three goals. The goals are up on the screen, first to prevent and to reduce homelessness, second to reduce the unnecessary and expensive use of emergency systems, primarily emergency rooms and jails, and then to increase self-sufficiency. And what I've listed up there are some of the numbers that are associated with some of the key outcomes. Before I get into the outcomes, just a little bit about the financials of the current levy. It is voted in at a rate of 5 cents per $1,000 of assessed value, which generates approximately $18.6 million this year. And then that money is invested currently in a structure that has half of proceeds dedicated specifically to veterans, military service members, and their families, and then the remainder, the other half, can be invested in what the ordinance identifies as vulnerable populations, but a wide range of persons within the community who can benefit from human services. So within that first goal area of preventing and reducing homelessness, the two numbers that you see up there first, the current levy has contributed funds to over 2,000, I think it's 2,056 total units of housing that have been created in the current levy period. And then it also averages about 800 folks a year that it's able to keep in housing and prevent them from becoming homeless across King County. And that 86% that you see depicted there as well is we go back after the words and check 6 months after the housing placement, and it's an 86% retention rate of housing placements. The second goal to reduce the unnecessary jail and emergency room use, you see that $7.2 million number there. What that signifies, there was a pilot program funded by the levy over the course of 4 years, and what it did was it took a group of high system utilizers, so folks who spent a lot of time in emergency rooms and institutions, identified how much the system was paying to provide services to those folks in the year before a supportive housing placement, placed them into a supportive housing placement, and then costed out how much they cost the system or the government or the taxpayers afterwards. And what we found is for that group of folks, it was a $7.2 million total savings for a program that actually cost much less than that. And then 876 persons a year, this is one of the few currently funded programs that really gets out into different parts of the county, although not all parts of the county, and that's the mobile medical van. So this is a van that's able to come out to locations where primarily folks who are experiencing homelessness congregate. So oftentimes it's a food bank, and that's the number of folks that it's able to provide emergency services to, medical services primarily annually, under the theory that it's cheaper and more effective for the person to provide the services in, before it actually turns into an emergency that warrants going to the emergency room. And then that last goal, increasing self-sufficiency. So veterans last year who received a supportive job placement inside of or from our King County Veterans Program were able to increase their annual income by up over $27,000 a person. When you add that up for a cohort of 128 veterans who received the services, it's $3.5 million, above $3.5 million in increased annual income. And we expect that to be an effect that continues going out forward into the year. And then 12,500 is the number of mothers who use the WIC program who've been screened for a depression under a levy-funded program. And then that following number, 523, is the average number of mothers who once screened positive, unfortunately, for something like depression, but then go and seek help afterwards. So seek a follow-up medical appointment. So that's very quickly as a summary of the key points and outcomes of the current levy. It does fund a total of 43 programs. And then next slide, please, Madam Clerk. Another thing that folks is important to everyone that we go around and talk about is reporting. So King County has invested significant resources in this levy. And one of the things that's both required by the ordinance that provides for the levy, but also that our department takes seriously, is the fact that we need to be transparent about what works and what doesn't and how the money is actually spent. So the website that's listed up there, you can see any member of the public. We publish two reports annually, and each of those reports accounts for each of the activities, assesses it against 80 performance measures, provides a detailed financial accounting of all the expenditures that are related to the levy, and really just an effort to make sure that we, as employees of the public, are good stewards of the fund. Next slide, please. Linked to that is evaluation. Another thing that's really important that we hear about continuously from the community is how do we know that this is working? And then a related theme that we hear quite a bit about is it's not really impressive how many folks you might help, but we really want to know whether or not anyone has actually benefited from the assistance. So it's not throughput or output, it's really outcomes. So I'll identify a couple of ways that we've been shifting towards that as we go forward, and then once we get into the framework of the new levy, I'll emphasize how we really envision continuing to make that change. But for anyone who's interested right now, you could go to that website and pull up the actual evaluation template that we're using this year for any of the levy-funded programs, and you could see who holds the contracts and what amounts and by what criteria we're defining success or failure. And then just for transparency's sake here, if a levy activity does not comply with it, with its targets, it goes into a management cycle, and if we're not able to get it to comply with its targets, it will have some or all of its funding withheld from it. So I'd be happy to answer any questions on the current levy structure, reporting, or evaluation before transitioning into the meat of the presentation about the preparation of the new levy proposal. Thank you. Next slide, please. So community engagement. About a year ago, we started a process where we wanted to go out into the community and just ask people what they wanted with their human services and veteran services. We went out and we had over 43 meetings, two online surveys. I've had a chance to sit down and hear from over 1,000 members of the community in King County, across King County. I know it's not legible up on the screen for everybody who is sitting and observing, but what we've done here is just to list every community and every organization with whom we've met. And then this really informs a lot of the information that I'll present in the next couple of slides, which really summarize what we heard when we listened to the community, and then what we found when we then went on to do some research based on what the community suggested. Next slide, please. So themes. Again, we went out and we basically asked what's important to you in terms of the health and human services and veteran service systems here in the King County. What do you think works well? What doesn't work well? What would you like to see improved? And the real themes that jumped out across all populations I'd like to identify here, and then we'll get specifically into what we heard for veterans, what we heard for what we call vulnerable populations, and then a new population inside this levy proposal, which is seniors. So first, the overall themes, social isolation. No matter who you talk to or where you go, there is this real feeling that whether it's a rural community, whether it's a suburban community, whether it's somebody who doesn't necessarily speak English, whether it's a veteran, whether it's an older adult, whether it's a caregiver of a person who has a disability, there are a lot of folks who don't feel connected to the broader community. King County overall has a reputation of doing very well right now, but that success is not evenly distributed. The thing that we really found about social isolation is that what initially sounds like an emotional condition or experience is actually a health condition. And so there's a growing body of research that shows empirically that isolation, real or perceived, has health-harming effects. In fact, the reduced longevity that results from social isolation is equivalent to what a person would experience if they were a smoker. In fact, the more specific version of that is 18 cigarettes a day is equal to real or perceived social isolation in terms of its ability to predict reduced longevity. And it's more predictive of reduced longevity than obesity. So a real, empirically proven health-harming effect that comes from social isolation. The next thing that we heard, no matter which population you talk to, is housing instability. So homelessness is obviously an issue across King County. Certainly it's concentrated in many places, but what we heard loud and clear is that whether it's an urban place, a suburban place, or a rural place, homelessness is affecting folks across King County. The other issue that's tied up inside housing instability is affordability. So folks not feeling able to continue to remain in their homes and in their communities. That statistic, 37% of households inside King County are what we call cost burdened. So cost burdened is any household that spends more than 30% of its total income on housing. So 37%, and the way that was really described to us by the community is this 37% of the folks who are one unexpected medical bill or one unexpected financial requirement away from not being able to maintain their housing. There are racial disparities, so it's just proven out inside King County that a black or a Hispanic household is twice as likely to be cost burdened as a white household. And there's also a system gap. So we have within King County and in the state of Washington a number of systems that we invest in heavily that are designed to assist people in either recovery, reentry after incarceration. And some examples that we really found when we went around is that those systems have gaps in them that limit their effectiveness both from a financial standpoint as a taxpayer or an organization that invests tax proceeds, but also from the perspective of the people in them. So, for example, if you're committed to Western State Hospital, there's a state statute that would require you to be there at least 90 days. So that's the minimum stay. And what we also know is that federally funded housing through the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, has a definition of homelessness. And if you've been in an institution for at least 90 days, you are not considered eligible for federally funded homelessness housing. So we have a situation where in order to seek treatment, you must be in for at least 90 days, and then you are by definition not eligible for federally funded housing, which is the primary source of housing investment inside King County. And these people are discharging into homelessness. For veterans, for example, who are incarcerated, we fund programs within both King County jails that invest in veterans and their reentry ability so that when they come out of jail, they're able to more easily reintegrate into society. And between 52 and 68% of veterans, depending on when you look at the time, are actually discharging into homelessness. So situations where we have folks who are investing in themselves and we are investing in them, but the system that we've built is one that has a gap that's really discharging them into homelessness where we expect that they are not going to continue to be successful in their recovery or their reentry. And then access and improvement. Particularly in urban and rural communities, there is a real sense that, one, folks don't know what all is available. So the common theme was, isn't there a menu somewhere that says what all the human services should be and all the veteran services should be that I should be able to look at and decide for myself what's appropriate for me? And then two, once you do find out, a lot of folks are saying that there's just not access. So if it's a phone number, they don't answer the phone, or you have to sit on hold for too long. If you live in a rural community, the services are too far away to be meaningfully accessible to you, particularly when they use business hours that conform to when people normally have to work. So a real issue around not knowing what's available to folks, and then folks not feeling like they have the ability to meaningfully access the services that they need. Next slide, please.
Mr. Floor, I just wanted to say that we had scheduled 15 minutes for your presentation. I don't know how long it usually is, but you've got quite a bit of material left, so hopefully you can move it up a little bit because we have a really long agenda tonight. I would appreciate that.
I will accelerate. Bottom lines on a lot of these veterans, we have more veterans who are homeless and more veterans who are in poverty right now than we did in 2010. So that's a trend that's accelerating. As we mentioned, social isolation. So if you're 65 and older, about 35% of all men 65 and older are veterans. When you get down to 34 and below, it's about 2.7%. So social isolation amongst veterans. For women who have served in every war in our nation's history, they make up about 1.6% of the total population throughout history. So again, social isolation both for male and female veterans. And then a lot of concerns around being able to access federally funded benefits through the VA. Next slide, please. And so what we're looking forward to in the new levy is to really emphasize the effective employment placements that we mentioned earlier in the beginning of the presentation, and then also taking a look at housing as a solution for these systems. Next slide, please. For vulnerable populations, I won't go through in detail on all of these. These are three examples of what counts as a vulnerable population in the ordinance as it's currently proposed. The top one there, just to note, survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault across King County have more unmet civil legal needs than any other community. So 100% of folks surveyed by a Washington State Supreme Court survey experienced at least one civil legal issue, and the average for survivors is actually 19.5 per. And 73% of those folks are not receiving any civil legal assistance with their civil legal issues and are going unrepresented, where we know that the likelihood of a suitable outcome from their perspective at least is reduced. Next slide, please. So two things that we're looking here. This is the instance of really investing in housing that makes these other systems work better. And then also in mobile services. One thing that we hear quite a bit, particularly in rural communities, is there's a real demand to have hard stand locations wherever we can. But where that's not necessarily cost effective, really taking a look at how we can make sure that services get out to folks where they are so that they can take advantage of those services. Next slide, please. Seniors. Three slides on this. It can be summarized very quickly. The senior population in King County is going up dramatically. So we expect that by 2040, the population of seniors will have doubled from over 200,000 to over 400,000. One in four King County residents will be 65 or older. And then it's not just a generational issue for the oldest among us, but even first members of Generation X will soon be retiring in the next 13 years. Next slide, please. Another thing just to note with seniors, and I think we might have jumped over one slide where their actual incomes are, for seniors, the other thing that we're finding is investment is falling. So as the population is going up, the federal investments in seniors are going down, and the county investments in seniors are going down. Particularly dramatic at the county level, where since 1998, there's been an 87% reduction in county-provided investments for seniors. And then this slide is that as population goes up and federal, state, and local investments are going down, costs are going up. So 27% of seniors are renters, 58% of that 27% are cost burdens, so that's that 30% of household income on housing expenses. And we're just seeing this as a real toxic but predictable and very clear issue that's coming forward towards us right now. Next slide, please. And looking forward with seniors in particular, the things that really jump out as being effective is helping people age in place. So how can you help a senior remain in their home instead of having to institutionalize them? We know that seniors live longer, live better when they can stay in their own home and they can stay within their own networks instead of being institutionalized at greater cost And this is also an issue where we have caregivers. We have quite a few folks who are taking care of seniors at their own personal expense. They love to do it, but they feel unsupported. They don't feel invested in, and this is a real area where we think that King County could invest significantly. And the last is senior centers. We have this existing architecture of latent capacity. We invested in these senior centers, and they don't have enough money to stay open 7 days a week. They don't have enough money to hire full staff. And that looks like a real place where you could invest pretty quickly to get good returns, and it would be distributed across the county. Next slide, please. One thing I just wanted to highlight quickly is there is some irony to a property tax that would purport to receive money based on property taxes to help seniors in particular be able to stay in their homes. So the executive, in taking a look at that issue, has identified three things that he is committed to reduce the levy's impact on seniors. So first, there is an existing exemption program inside King County that's underutilized. So that's 23,000 to 26,000 folks who are eligible for this program, the assessor thinks, and just don't use it. The next thing is that the executive has reached out to the state legislature and is working with them right now to expand the current exemption program to include levy lid lifts, which is the kind of levy that the Veterans, Seniors, and Human Services levy would be, so that it could be exempted for folks who are eligible for exemptions. And then the last piece is until those exemptions are able to happen, because it's the case right now that you're probably not going to get something through the state legislature on the first try, that until those the state exemption is expanded, that the executive is committed to providing rebates for the full cost of this levy to folks who would be eligible for the exemption. And if there are questions, I can get into the details on the eligibility or answer that afterwards. Next slide, please. So the new proposal, it's been introduced by the executive, and it would now be a Veterans, Seniors, and Human Services levy. And the next slide, please. Really, to take a look at it, what it would do is divide proceeds in thirds. So the executive has proposed a rate at 12 cents per $1,000 of assessed valuation, and I'll go through a slide about how much that would specifically cost. The county council yesterday passed a version that would be at 10 cents per $1,000 of assessed valuation, so I'll lay that out. But either way you cut it, the structure of the proposal right now is that total proceeds would come in, subtract $300,000 to assist with any district that might be suppressed, and right now we project no suppression on current economic conditions, but they can change. So there'd be some ability to compensate a suppressed district, and then divide it in thirds. So in this case, $20.1 million, or at the 10-cent rate, it goes down to $16.6 million per. And then half of all that money dedicated to housing in the first year, and then 25% in years after. Next slide, please. We talked about outcomes really quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here other than to say that we inside King County really understand that, you know, the title of this book that provides this planning process is that trying hard isn't good enough. So it's necessary from our perspective that we'd be able to evaluate outcomes instead of outputs and be transparent about that with the public and the voters. Next slide, please. Housing stability, just to mention it, we said 50% in the first year and then 25% in subsequent years. It's a combination of capital services and operations that can be tailored for a specific population or a specific part of the county. So we know that in some places there's actually quite a bit of capital access to build housing, but there's not access to funds that can operate it. Other communities have the opposite problem, and so not specifying a set ratio allows us to tailor to an urban versus a rural community. Next slide, please. And then how much all of this is. One thing that we heard quite a bit is that folks aren't really satisfied that an explanation of the cost at the median is useful. So what I've done here is depict a couple representative values. So 285, for example, is the median value in Kent. I've placed the Black Diamond median value up. The county median is 450,000, and then a million just for somebody who might have a home that's assessed at that value. Something to note is that King County levies taxes on assessed value and not sales price, and those can be the same or different. In this current market, the assessed value is typically lower than the sales price. And what I've depicted in the two rows there is what you would pay at 12 cents and what you would pay at 10 cents. For anyone who's interested, the current levy I did mention was enacted at 5 cents, so you could divide that 10-cent line just in half to see what you would pay if it were approved at 5 cents today. Next slide, please. I think that's the substantive part, Madam Mayor. And mindful of time, I'm happy to answer any questions that members of the council might have.
Well, I just, again, thank you for coming tonight and sharing this. I think this is really important. Just an observation. I ran some numbers just in my head when I was home, and 66% of the people on dais are senior citizens,
and I'm seeing an awful lot of white hair out there in the audience, too. So the senior deal is very important to me. The mayor, Councilmember Deedy, and I donate our time at our community center a couple of days a week. They have seen significant cuts in their budgets from King County, from Catholic Community Services, from United Way over the last few years. They're hanging on by their fingernails. And I wanted to stress the population that they serve is not just seniors in Black Diamond. They have a before and after school kids program for parents that are working. They have senior lunches. They have a program for helping to supplement power bills. And it's not just Black Diamond. We have folks from Maple Valley. We have folks from Covington. Just down the road here on the Green River is a homeless camp that those folks also come up here for our services. And our community center, because we don't have the budget, is not supported really by the city. We help them out with a little bit of a grant, and that's it. So I would implore you that King County needs to look at the rural areas like Black Diamond and help out our 501c3 community centers, because they don't have a lot of options. Thank you.
Councilmember Deedy.
One of the things that I do know about is that transportation. So you're talking about, you know, so far away and trying to get on the phone. But just for our seniors and our low income, just to have an extra car is a big deal. But just to get gas to get to that point. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be something where we get some sort of bus route or something that could come out and help our seniors and our low income and just anybody who needs help to get to those services that you speak of. And even a little bit more information that would go to our mayor and to our community center that has a way that they can get that information out to people. So it's all compiled in one so that everybody has the same information and they're not getting confused. Well, I thought I was supposed to go over here, or I was supposed to call this place, and then they get lost in the system because they're just so confused, so they stop trying.
Anybody else has any questions? Councilmember,
I just have a quick question. On your proposed timeline, how close is the county running on that?
Thank you, Councilmember. So right now, the key date is August 1st, so the county must pass a version of the ballot measure ordinance, and the RPC must pass the same version, the Regional Policy Committee, by August 1st. The Regional Policy Committee and the County Council have now both passed versions. They are not the same. So on July 12th, there is a Regional Policy Committee that will have been, well, they'll consider what the County Council just enacted, and if the Regional Policy Committee were to amend that in any way and then pass it, the County Council would be back at it. So we expect that it's either July 17th or July 24th when there'll be an opportunity to reconcile the two. So on track right now, but it's not done till it's done.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mary, one more comment.
Okay.
Because you're expecting this to be on the November ballot, aren't you?
Correct, Councilmember. Yes. Okay. The November ballot.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tonight.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you.
So the next item on the agenda is public comments. Persons wishing to address council may come forward at this time and speak to council. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. When you come up to the podium, state your name and city of residence. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Bob?
Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. First of all, I want to mention, in case anyone noticed, that Robin Taylor is not here tonight. She's recuperating from a knee surgery. She'll next time we see her, she'll have a brand new knee. So that's why I'm speaking. I wouldn't want you to miss some of the things that Robin might say. Attorney Kohler, I would like to ask her some questions, but I don't want her to respond. She can respond during the public comments like a normal person would. She said that the city council can establish the rules. They cannot establish illegal rules. We all know that. The state law says they can establish their own rules, that is, the rules for city council, not for the rest of the city government. There is nothing in the RCW that would allow the city council to establish a rule that says they can take over a meeting from the mayor. Under our form of government, the mayor is the presiding officer of city council meetings. And when she says somebody's out of order, that person has to shut up and sit down. You cannot continue to argue with the mayor. She is the presiding officer by law. The city council cannot establish rules that tell the city staff what to do. Even Fitzgerald and Fitzpatrick noted that in their report. I'm sorry. Those two guys that were hired by the city council, Talmadge and Fitzpatrick, pointed out that the city council cannot establish rules that tell the city administration, the people who report to the mayor, what to do. I heard her say, talking about Attorney Kohler again, that we don't have a city attorney because we don't have a statute. I seem to recall that by state law, we have to have a city attorney. And, of course, common sense says we have to have a city attorney. That's all.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Leslie?
Leslie Cooley, Black Diamond. And as a citizen and resident of Black Diamond, I am very disappointed that the meeting has started out like it has started out for the past 18 months. I read through the agenda that was posted over the weekend because it was out on Friday, read through the packet material, didn't get this agenda that, as the mayor said, got emailed at 10:45 last night. When does that give me, as a citizen who has a daytime job, time to prepare and react to the agenda? I'm very disappointed to note that the pothole repair maintenance and Roberts Drive rehab contracts appear to be going to committee, when, as the council agreed during May and June, and yes, I did listen to the audio, again, that you would expedite the process. Last meeting you accepted the grants. Please don't send these to committee due to the timing of the contracts that need to be awarded now. As Mr. Botcher mentioned last meeting, these are routine items of the city and should be processed in a timely manner. Is this the kind of legacy the majority council wants to leave for the citizens of Black Diamond, to continue to stall, to continue to lose grant funding, and to not be concerned about the welfare of the citizens and the improvements that are needed on Roberts Drive? On another note, this Saturday is Miners' Days, and I've been hearing that the skit is going to be pretty darn awesome. So I hope to see everyone out celebrating our mining heritage and celebrating that small-town community feel, and hope that the citizens and the council and the staff will all have some time to talk and visit and not do it in a meeting. Thanks.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Rob?
Brock D.D., Black Diamond. I'd just like to make a comment, and I think if we have a visitor coming to our community and he has a presentation to make, he should always be top of the list. And because people come from far away to make their presentations, they should be able to do what they need to do, present to us, let us hear it, and then they can leave if they need to. So to have this little battle before a guest is pretty embarrassing. So to alleviate that in the future, it might be nice just to put them at the top of your agenda, Pat, or even the agenda that the rest of the council comes up with. And that's pretty simple because we know he's going to be here. So just put him to the top, let him talk, and if he needs to leave, he can go. And that should be for any guest that's here to do a presentation. Thanks.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment section. The next item on the agenda is, this isn't really unfinished business. It's really new business, but since you put it on as 7.5, the ordinance amending the budget for calendar year 2017 for the TIB grant and expenditure, I just wanted to point out one thing that we talked about at the last meeting, that it's really hard to track beginning and ending budget items when you do amendments during the year, and that's why we track the budget amendments in a list so that at the end of the year we can do one budget amendment. And I thought that we had talked about that. I realized that you had put that wording in your resolution, but I would really like you to think about how confusing it is to be able to track the beginning and ending budget. But anyway, I'll let Ms. Miller get up and make some comments.
I believe we handed this out tonight. Tonight you have before you an ordinance amending the 2017 budget. That's ordinance 16-1083 that was passed in December, and then it was amended in March with 17-1088. This amendment adds $50,000 for the TIB grant for revenue and the expenditures for the pothole repairs and emergency maintenance that's authorized in this grant. So I have that before you as an ordinance. Since it was asked for in the resolution that was passed last week, I have that prepared and the ordinance prepared for you. If you have any questions.
Councilmember Weber.
I just want to tell you thank you for getting this out to us. We definitely want to stay within state law, and we want to make sure that our budget is amended properly, like this will do, before we go and we spend or commit the city to funding. So thank you for getting that out today.
Well, it would be really hard for us to spend more money than they give us unless we just spent city money that wasn't in the budget, because we don't get the money until after we do the work. So I think that sometimes you don't understand what a budget amendment means. And so we wouldn't overspend this money in any case. We have $50,000, and that's what we will be spending. And the budget amendment, it doesn't matter whether it's done now or done at the end of the year. It's going to have the exact same effect.
I don't need you, me.
Pardon?
I don't need you. I just have some things I want to say about the budget, about the supplement budget ordinance. The law clearly states that the city need not pass a budget amendment to receive unanticipated revenue unless it wishes to spend it during the current year. If the new money is not formally accepted into the current budget, it will simply drop down to the ending fund balance and will be available for appropriation in the next year, but it will not be available for appropriation in this year. The intent of the pothole TIB grant is to spend it on repairs this year. Number three, the council action by a majority vote on June 15th, 21 days ago, was staff prepare a budget amending ordinance to this year's budget to accept the grant that the city is to spend this year. And here it is. Thank you very much. Number four, there was discussion around the need for the supplemental budget ordinance rather than adding it to the year-end balancing supplemental, citing the above-read RCW demand. The mayor stated her position that she did not wish to produce this ordinance now. Attorney Glenn contacted the mayor about the need for the ordinance Thursday a week ago, and supplied a template for just the need, just with the needed figures to be placed in it by our finance department to balance up the budget funds that were going to be available for road maintenance now. If the ordinance, number seven, if the ordinance had been in the council packet when it came out last Friday, the council could have evaluated it during the week. But in the current situation, I've read it over. It's really pretty short. It's pretty simple. I maybe have one thing. I don't see on here, May.
You want her out here? You have a question?
I don't
she
see.
She needs you.
I need you. I do need you. Cool. Think of that. The fund 320 as it existed in the budget.
Yeah.
Did that just have the 30K maintenance in it, or did it have more money in it?
That has all. Our budget is adopted at the fund level.
Right.
Both these ordinances adopted.
So how much
at that
money
level.
Was in? How much money was in there?
And
320 in fund 320. How much money was?
I did not bring that number with me tonight.
Pat has it.
Is it 320 streets and public works capital fund?
Right.
I have revenue $1,794,219. Expenditures $1,794,219.
Right. So this isn't going to change that any?
This will add $50,000. So there's also another budget amendment that was the $50,000 that Councilman Weber passed for $50,000 for the comp plan that's in there. So that budget will add the $50,000. This will add another. So there's $100,000 added to the original amount.
Okay, good. Good. So I don't know. I think I'll pass it back to my chairman. The Finance Committee.
Well, the chairman's going to move to adopt this ordinance to amend the 2017 budget ordinance number 16-1083 as amended by ordinance number 17-1088 to add the budget for the TIB grant for pothole repairs and emergency maintenance. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
So the next item on the agenda is a resolution awarding contract with Tony Lynn Paving, LLC, for citywide emergency. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. This is a paving and patching contract. We put this out on the small works roster. Normally, I do not provide the full boilerplate of the entire contract, but I wanted to provide the entire amount of paperwork that staff puts together for a project like this. This is a project that was bid and the plans specs put together in-house, and that saves the city probably, if we were to put it out to bid, maybe $15,000 to $20,000. I noticed on the new agenda that came out, this is going to be assigned to the Council Government Operations Committee. That's going to put us a time stress on this project. In the contract, when we bid this, we put a time frame that they had to have the work done by August 31st. There's that expectation that they were going to get a bid award to them that goes on back to committee. I'm not sure when it gets back. We would have to, at least as a courtesy, go back to the contractor and ask them if they're willing to stand by their bid, understanding that the time now is shortened for them to be able to complete the work. So potentially he says, well, I got other jobs. I didn't anticipate that I would have to be pushed into August, and I don't want to be held. Maybe he's not, wouldn't have to be held to the bid. So maybe we have to go back out and start the process all over again. So I'm not understanding, you know, what the issue is that that I've been here for three meetings on this two meetings already on this subject. Why there needs to be more discussion? Why can't this be acted on?
Is the microphone on? I can't hear him very well.
Oh, maybe you just need to get a little closer.
Okay.
Councilmember Morgan.
Hi. I have prepared a few things that I think maybe we'll see Mr. Botcher smile a little bit more to say about this. The council accepted the grant now for this $50K into the budget as a supplement to the budget, which just had the $30K in it. So the city must change the current, but must change its current budget fund so that it can spend the money. But we've already done that tonight. The job needs to be done before August 31, so the timetable is short. And I really want to thank Mr. Botcher for putting all this information in here. And I want you to know that I went through and read every word. I can see that the timeline is pretty short. I can see that the bid was awarded, is supposed to be awarded today. I don't know if it really was or not, but and that the then there would be 10 days until the notice to proceed for the contractor who was the successful bid. I did notice that there were four bids and that they were spread pretty widely, basically from $40K to $164K. And the contractor in me starts a little bit wondering. So I'm wondering a little bit about the difference between the city estimate, by the way, was like 61, is that right?
Yes.
61. I'm sort of wondering about the spread, if there's any explanation for that.
Oftentimes, late in the construction season, you'll see that as contractors that are very busy, that already have a lot of work, they'll just throw a number. They don't know how busy everyone else is, but at a certain price, they can fit it in.
Okay, and frankly, when I looked at it, what I noticed was that the bids went up the further away they were from Black Diamond, and the closer they were, definitely that they were down. Though I'm still wondering a little bit about the difference between the $40K and the $61, but no?
Well, we base our engineers' estimates on the most recent bids that we can find.
Okay.
Sometimes, however, you have contractors that maybe they haven't gotten their summer job yet, and they're a little more desperate. But I'm usually pretty happy if we're in the middle of the pack with an engineer's estimate. It means we're doing a pretty good job. Sometimes you're low bidder. That's sometimes okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just shows that there's a trend, and typically there is a trend from spring, early in the year, to where we are now, June and May, where the prices continue to go up towards the construction season.
Right. So, and just additionally, I'll just say that I've gone to look at many of these areas, not everyone, but many of these areas involved in this pothole repairs. And my conclusion is that Black Diamond is pretty progressive about its pothole repair this year. And I can say that my GovOps committee recommends passage
of this bill.
So it's already been to committee.
Mm-hmm. When was that?
Can I second that motion?
Yes, she can.
It was not a motion.
It wasn't a motion.
Oh. I move that we remove this item from committee and adopt this resolution for pothole repair and road maintenance. Do I have a second?
Yes.
All right.
Is there any further discussion?
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Are you just, is that the vote for just removing it from the committee?
Right.
Or is that a the move?
You can do them both together.
We can do
then
them both together.
It would be wise. To actually read the motion that has been prepared for us?
Yes.
Do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
Well, Pat made the motion. Why don't she pull her motion, and then she can redo it.
Am I reading this?
Just go to that last page.
This?
No, sure. It's on the second page.
Yeah. Sure.
Motion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you need to remove it from committee and then make the motion in one.
All right. Okay, so I need two motions now. No, just one? All right. I would like to remove this item from committee, and I would like to make a motion to adopt a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute a $40,108.90 contract with Tony Lind Paving, LLC, for the citywide emergency pothole repair and road maintenance project, and authorizing a $5,000 contingency fund for the construction of this project. Do I have a second?
You seconded it?
Aye.
Oh, okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution. Excuse me.
Are we going into new business right now?
That is correct.
Yep. All right. I would like to say that I have a motion for. I have an item for new business, and I would like to. Know if the council would like to address this item now or after item 12 of new business. What would the council prefer to do?
Well, what is the item?
Well, the item relates to some of the issues within the city regarding laws and policies.
I think we need to do it at the end. If it's new business, we should conduct the business that's already on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't revise your agenda at the beginning of the meeting.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
I will second that idea.
There's no motion.
I know there isn't. I'm just agreeing with her, so we can move on.
So the next item on the agenda is a resolution awarding contract with J.R. Hayes for Roberts Drive Construction Project. Mr. Botcher.
Okay, this is a project you've been hearing about for, it's coming up 5 years now. And history on this is that we had a project funded. It included the bridge. The TIP was not approved until the bridge was removed from the project in April. Then the TIP was approved. It put us in a tight time frame to get the plans revised. And out to bid to meet with TIV and get them to revise the scope of the project to hold the funding. And they put a tight time frame on the funding. We have to issue a notice to proceed before July 15th. So you'll see that issuing or referring this to committee and not acting tonight means that the funding will disappear, and you could still talk about it in committee, but the only thing left to talk about is how you're going to come up with the money to repay TIB for the engineering you already spent. But there will be no project.
Okay.
Councilmember Morgan.
So this was also in the GovOps committee. We've had a few discussions, actually, about this. I'm going to be reluctantly voting for expending this contract tonight, but I want to make a few comments. There's been a lot of public comment about this subject. I don't like the contracted schedule that we are presented with here. We should have time for a full consideration. That's how the council does its best work. The grant came from the state in late 2015. There was very little progress made over the next 15 months. The SEPA Declaration of Non-Significance issued in September 2015 had to be withdrawn after Fish and Wildlife said it's not possible that there was no SEPA mitigation that was necessary. In September 2016, the staff issued a mitigated declaration of non-significance and also withdrew that. In 2017, the state granting agency forced the issue with the statement that they would need to withdraw the grant, that the time for us to hold the money had run out. Now the city is doing this project near the wetlands and discharging additional untreated road surface water into the natural wetland without any SEPA process and without any mitigation. The project is to add a walkway, water, and additional utility lines over a 100-year-old bridge, which no longer meets encoded city standards. For these utilities, the bridge is the only access point for a lot of development, and our code says that if there is development on the other side of the bridge that is increased over 20% of where it was in 1980, there must be a bridge replacement before that development can be permitted. Why is this happening? The bridge allows the development to proceed more quickly than creating the pipeline road would have done, and possibly more cheaply for them. Public money is being used to facilitate a certain developer, in my opinion, not following the spirit of the state and local law, which requires that the developer, not the local citizens, pay for development. The state environmental policy was designed to provide information for decision makers. We council members are decision makers, and we should have had this information that the SEPA process would deliver to us. But we don't have this information, and we probably never will. I do find the Bruckner's Way to City Hall portion on the 2017 TIP as the second item down on that list that was included in the packet. But I do not find the eastbound lane of Roberts from 236th Avenue to the bridge on this TIP. But it's part of this project, the paper says, this paper that I'm having in front of me. So now we have a contract that was just presented to us tonight with a big fat red rush flag flying over it. In reality, Roberts Drive has already been torn up with related waterline project, and with its own questionable environmental review, but at least now the weather's dry. And from what I'm hearing, the citizens are more or less out of patience with this project. I will vote to continue and hope that we have all learned something from this travesty that's happened in the city of Black Diamond. It's not been our best moment.
So I make a motion to adopt a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute a contract with J.R. Hayes and Sons, Incorporated, for the Roberts Drive Roadway Improvements Project, and to authorize a $50,000 contingency fund potential change order.
Second. Do we have any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we have a resolution amending the city's fee schedule for traffic. School Chief Kiblinger.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. What you have in front of you is a small amendment to our fee schedule for the city. As you can see, or if you remember back in January of 2016, we amended the cost of traffic school, but we didn't subsequently change the fee in our fee schedule. So this would put us in compliance with what we passed back in January of 2016.
And you've brought this up many a times at Council, so we've talked about it before.
This was just talked about in January, and when we passed that resolution in January of 2016, it said we would update this at our next annual fee schedule update when we do our big fee schedule update, but we haven't done that yet. So I wanted to make this change because I'm not sure when the next fee schedule will be.
Councilmember Weber.
Let's see, this item's up for first reading also. I would like to suspend the rules on this item and bring it forward for a vote.
So I make a motion to adopt a resolution amending Resolution 15-1043 to update the police traffic school fees per Ordinance 16-1071.
Second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Councilmember.
The next item on the agenda is a ordinance amending Black Diamond Municipal Code regarding inattentive driving. Chief Kiblinger.
Also in front of you, back in 2009, it was an ordinance that we adopted on inattentive driving. You can see the language that was adopted in that. This violation is most typically seen in our court as a reduction from other offenses. If you look at the definition, you'll see the lax, what it currently is and what we're changing it to. It's currently defined as a lax or slack manner. When one of our officers looked at that, it's not a good definition. It's not clear. It's very general. So we're just trying to clean up the language. We had our prosecuting attorney look at this language as well as our attorney firm just to verify this new language is a little more clear to both officers and the general public. That's why we're changing it.
Is it consistent with what's in the state law, or is it?
There is no state law on inattentive driving. This is a municipal ordinance. Okay. There are several cities, Kent, Pacific. We stole it from, I believe, Kent. Okay. Yeah, there's several cities that have it.
Stole, that's not a good word for the police chief.
We stole it.
Speak a little louder.
Can I make
yeah.
You got that on tape, right?
Councilmember Morgan.
I see this as a sign to the GovOps committee that's my committee, and I can understand in the spirit of the game that we're playing here today to push this through, but the reason that I would really like to take this to committee is not so much to have it much to do with, doesn't have so much to do with what's on the page. I think that's probably pretty good, and maybe when some other people read it over, they can at least get that in their heads. But I think that it makes a good opportunity to get a few people, though they probably wouldn't be the people who we would really need to talk to make the public more aware by having more discussion. So I think that the
sure.
public would be best served by us sending that committee.
So I make a motion to adopt an ordinance amending Black Diamond Municipal Code 10.40.060 to clarify offense of initiative inattentive driving.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion carried.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is a resolution adopting a 2018 budget planning calendar. Ms. Miller.
Thank you. I prepared an ordinance. I took the municipal research.
Resolution.
dates, which I attached, which are the limitation dates by state law. That state law is RCW 35A33. That sets the different dates when staff has to meet requirements and also when we have to have different hearings for the council and the public. And we thought last year, I remember, we had some discussion about, you know, the confusion of the dates, not knowing when they were and everything. We talked about adopting a planning ordinance. And I went out on the online and found some other cities also do this. So I thought it was a really good idea. This ordinance just outlines when the work study meetings can be scheduled and what the limitations, what the state law limitation dates are, and when the specific council dates, when we have to have documents ready, when we have to have public hearings ready, when the notices have to be out. So it puts it out for all the citizens, for all the council to know when the upcoming dates are, well in advance of when we've normally published these dates. So I thought it was a good day, good idea to look over Municipal Research's calendar and check the dates myself, check them with when our official dates are and how they would meet that, and bring that forward so that we could adopt a schedule and everyone would know ahead of time when we had scheduled dates and when we would all meet those expectations. Do you have any questions?
No.
I make a motion to adopt a resolution adopting the 2018 budget planning and process calendar.
Second.
Any further discussion? Councilmember Morgan?
I would think this would be on here for first reading.
Any further discussion?
I'd like to make an amended motion to suspend the rules on this item and bring it forward to vote.
But it hasn't been to, there's no motion to send it to committee, so why do you have to suspend the rule?
You didn't even suspend the rules on the first thing that you did tonight.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
No, the very first.
You haven't been, you're not consistent. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Why don't we just vote on that?
Fine.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
So the next item would be the consent agenda.
No, I'm
sorry. Councilmember Pepper? Oh.
There was a new item to, we agreed to do it after number 12, and it is a motion authorizing council action, and I can pass this out to the council now. Councilmember Morgan has a copy of this right now.
What about the rest of us on the council? Yes.
I have a copy that I'm passing around.
Mayor Beth.
For the record, Ms. Pepper brought these copies in to the meeting with the idea of having a new additional new business item and has not had the courtesy to give the entire council, the mayor, and the clerk a copy in advance so we can even read it. How do you expect us to do anything?
Oh, Mayor Benson.
And I would appreciate it if certain members of the audience would remain silent.
Mayor Benson.
It's not your meeting.
Councilmember Deedy.
So this is one of those, Councilmember Pepper, that you talk about that you don't like surprises, that you don't like coming from staff. But it's apparent that you and Erica knew that you were going to do this probably even yesterday when you sent out your re-advised agenda, but this is one of those shock things that Brian Drodowski and Christian Bryant like, that you just bring this out now, so don't let them know what you're going to do, but just get it here at the last second before anybody can read it. So theoretically, three council members have not had a chance to read it, nor has the mayor or the city attorney have had a chance to go over it, but yet you three are going to pass this without even saying it needs to go to our committee or anything like that.
Mayor?
Councilmember Edelman?
Well, I've just read this. And, you know, in a normal world, this is how things would act, that the city and mayor would uphold contracts passed by the council, the obligation of the city and mayor to uphold city policies and laws regarding the payment of vouchers, the obligation of the city and mayor to follow the process for drafting and posting council meeting agendas, the obligation of the city and mayor to issue proper notice of special meetings requested by the city council, the obligation of the city and mayor and appointive officers and staff to follow state laws, local laws, and resolutions and policies passed by the council. First of all, I find this really highly insulting, along with other comments that have been made tonight. At least I follow the city attorney's advice, and I follow the law. I follow the approved council rules. I am not going to do something that is illegal by following the illegal council rules. Now, what would be really a nice thing to have happen is if the majority council would follow the rules.
because there are rules that they are not following that's in both sets of the rules. So this is baloney. There is no need for this. This is doing our job, right. Talking to the mayor, talking to staff. Do your job.
Councilmember Pepper?
I move that we approve this motion authorizing action. And
what is
the motion, mostly read by Councilmember Edelman, thank you. Motion of the council authorizing action. The City Council of the City of Black Diamond authorizes action, including seeking a legal remedy to establish the following. One,
you don't the need obligation, to read it again.
The obligation of the city
God's
and
sake.
The mayor to
other Point of order. It's already been read.
Council.
You don't need to read it again.
Number two, has the floor. The
call
obligation
the
of the city
I
and the mayor
the
to uphold city policies it's, and laws
it's
regarding
been read.
The payment of vouchers. I have the floor.
The
obligation of the city and the mayor to follow the process for drafting and posting council meeting agendas. The obligation of the city and the mayor to issue proper notice of special meetings requested by the city council. The obligation of the city and the mayor and appointed officers and staff to follow state laws, local laws, and resolutions and policies passed by the council. And do I have a second?
I will second you,
Mayor
Pepper.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I'm confused. So Councilmember Pepper, please help me understand our council rules. So if you make a motion and then another council member states, I call the question, does that mean you still get to go and
no.
That means I get to shut up?
No.
What does it mean? Because your leader out there told me I got to shut up and you get the floor. So what is it?
Would you please be quiet?
So I called the question.
You didn't have the floor.
I can call the question.
You don't need the floor to call the question.
Well, if I have the floor.
So nobody can ever call a person that has the floor, say, I call the question or point of order? No. We just shut up?
I don't think you understand Robert's rules very well.
May I make another comment?
Councilmember Edelman.
I would just like to know, what's the point? Why are you doing this? This is what we do as a council. These are our obligations. Now, maybe that's all news to you. I don't know. But I will say this. It's not the minority council members that are not paying the vouchers. Tammy and I meet with the finance director and the mayor on the Thursday before the packet comes out. We review every voucher. We have questions. We get answers, and then they go into the packet. As far as meeting agendas, you guys all know, we have said this multiple times, you know the packet comes out on Friday. You have to have all your information in 9 days before to the city. The fact that you struck those from your council rules doesn't alleviate the city staff from doing their job. They cannot respond at 10 from an agenda that's given out at 10:45 the night before a meeting. All of these things are your personal responsibilities. You guys need to start working with the staff and following the law.
Councilmember Weber.
So Councilmember Deedy called the question, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that ends debate, correct, for Robert's
correct.
Rules?
Yeah,
but it has to be voted on.
We're still going.
But somebody would stop talking, and the mayor would say, what's your question, or whatever, and then
you call the question. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You go to a vote.
Right. Are you?
So was there a motion and a second on this?
There was, yeah.
There was a motion and there was a second.
Okay. So all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No. No, we already do this, so it's ridiculous.
It's a waste of time.
Moving on.
So the next item on the agenda is the claim checks, or are you going to do the consent agenda together, or do you have a some alternate decision you want to make?
I have some alternate decision.
Of course you do.
So are we separating them out?
We are separating them out. So I want to pull certain vouchers. I want to pull 43993 Parametrics, $2,163.75. I want to pull 44998 AHBL, $2,381.92. I want to pull 45025 Kenyon Descend. We have never had an authorization to hire to pay this firm. They've never been hired by the council, and there is no contract between them and the council, and that is how we supply ourselves with legal opinions in this city. Number five is another parametrics check. It's 45036, and it's for $19,365. And I have 5 cents written here, but I think it's a typo. I think it's 50 cents. And then I also want to pull 45037 Petit for $805. And number seven is 45044 for $65,049.95, and that's RH2. And I sent Brenda earlier this list on an email, so there's a little more explanation on my email.
Mayor, are you done? Councilmember
Eleanor? Okay. No, I'm not done. And I would like to move to accept the rest of the vouchers for payment, including the payroll.
So you're going to address the agenda separately?
Could be. I can. We can do it either way.
Well, you just said in there that we were addressing each one separately. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, and I just have. That is my intent. Okay. However, it's in here, and I intend to pass the payroll due.
Can you restate that motion? Because I have no idea what you just said.
I had a list that I read out.
Yes.
You want me to read the list out again?
I need for you to restate your motion.
I move to accept the rest of the vouchers and the payroll. For the July 6th council meeting.
There is no payroll. It's just two claim checks.
It's just vouchers.
Vouchers one and two.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
Yes.
Councilmember Edelman. Okay. First of all, the obligation of the city and mayor to uphold contracts passed by the council. That means the entire council of the past also. So by pulling these vouchers, you are violating the contract with the developer to pay the subcontractors. The obligation of the city and mayor to uphold city policies and laws regarding the payment of vouchers. So you don't want to pay the subcontractors who have already performed the job. Again, you're violating your motion that you just passed.
You done?
Yes, I'm done. I'm disgusted.
Okay.
Councilmember Morgan?
So I guess maybe there is some reason. So on the parametrics, on the first parametrics vouchers, 43993, The reason that they are being pulled, that voucher is being pulled, is because there was no action authorizing invoice 0178783, and there was no council action authorizing the invoice 0178791, and there were council extensions for 45 days while an RFQ process was to be conducted, but the invoices do not conform with that work time and were not performed within the authorized time period, so they weren't authorized by the council. She just read. What was that you just read?
Okay. It's your freaking motion.
Okay. AB, the AHBL 44998, there was an amount that was supposed to be up to was 150K. There's no accounting available to verify this voucher. So until there's an accounting against that 150K, there's no way for me to know or any of us to know whether that's payable or not. I already read you about Kenyon Descend, so now we get down to Parametrics again. They have invoice number 0179039. They have 790044 and 79043. There's a typo there at 79. It's the same one. Okay, these are MDART contracts, which had the same window where we were paying them between March 6th to April 21st, pending RFQ, which didn't happen. And then they have another invoice. It gets a little bit complicated. They have another invoice, 0179041, that is for a certain amount of money. It's $108,874.50, and I don't have an accounting for that, so I don't know whether it's payable or not. Petite, 45037 is for $805. It's an invoice number 20160294.001. There is there's no council action that I can see that validated that invoice. And then RH2, there's another whole list of them, plus at the end a dollar amount. So what I can say is that there's all. Then there's this other note here. There is in this list a land use property law bill that is being paid. It's the amount that's being paid was the amount that was for the arbitration with arbitrator Scott. And he, I guess, ordered that amount to be paid. So then when the judge orders it to be paid, I guess it gets paid. Because I called and asked, and there was a bill sent out early in June for May services. And I remind the city that the bills must be paid within 60 days of the invoice under law if that expenditure was authorized by the council. That's all I have to say.
I have no idea.
Okay. So any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, we have minutes from council work session.
Well, hang on.
August 11, Councilmember Morgan.
Okay, I'm going to adjust you a little bit because we're forgetting the voucher that was left over from last time that we got more information on, but not enough. It's voucher 44973. It was a Parametrics voucher. The amount for the agreement, which was under 0178916, is $228,668. So we'll need a listing of when and how the payments were made against this amount to know if it's approved or not. And there was another invoice on that voucher that is 0178919, and that is for $108,874.50. And that is the same thing. It's for a certain amount, and we need to know how many payments have been made. There are many of these contracts that are for a certain amount of money. And they often span across years and thus across budget listings. It would be very helpful and will be very helpful with voucher review and with auditing if we have a list of what's been paid and what is still, waiting to get paid, I guess is a way to say it. And another aid in our process will be a companion listing of the contracts, like the ordinances and the resolutions are listed so that we can see what was being agreed to in an easy manner when we get ready to pay these bills.
So did you send these questions to the mayor so that she could?
Yes, we talked. Those are things that we talked about when I went to see them today.
So that was today. Mm-hmm. So you didn't give them enough time to answer that.
No, we talked about it there today.
So did you get your answers today, or do you still have questions?
No, no. And it will take them a while to round those up because those go back for more than a year most.
And that's what I was saying. Is that, you know, that's right. You can't go.
I know.
So what are you saying you want to do about that claim check?
About that claim check?
Yeah.
I want to see about the 44973.
Yes.
From the June 15th meeting.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that what we need to see when payments against these amounts of money were made, so we know where we are with those amounts of money.
So then you want to make a motion to hold it again?
Yes, I'll make a motion to hold it again.
Second.
Councilmember Edelman.
Okay, just because this is just beyond the pale. The 44973 Parametrics invoice is in the amount of $7,106.25. Why, when you were in the office, did you not just deal with that one? You're now resurrecting old history.
Well, the mayor put it back on the agenda.
Well, that was your motion the last time, to bring it forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys are just out of your minds. Mm-hmm. Out of your minds. Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, please, too.
So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
I don't think Councilmember Pepper voted.
She voted.
Yeah,
she did?
Yeah.
Okay. Minutes for council work session of August 11th. Councilmember Morgan.
Hi. There was one thing. I like these minutes, except for one thing. Down under there was discussion.
And
I'm looking at page 1 of 5 on August 11th. It was a work study minutes. And it's Council Member Edelman noted for the record that there are council members who showed up not prepared to discuss this item. And I consider that slandering one of the other council members. It's bad enough when it's done. We don't need to memorialize it.
When you say it's for the record, it has to go into the record.
There's no reason to memorialize that.
May I say something?
But we can have a discussion.
First of all, the official record is the audio.
That's right.
And the audio has for the record. And so the written minutes are a written documentation. And if it's for the record, it needs to be in there.
Right.
Just because you don't like it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be there.
Councilmember Pepper.
Councilmember Morgan, are you suggesting an amendment?
I'm suggesting an amendment to strike that. What I just said.
You can't do that.
Why don't you just hold them again and put them in the deep six freezer or something?
You know, it's not going to matter. First of all, these minutes are already out as drafts on the city website. Second of all, it's what I said. It's what I want to be reflected in the meeting minutes. You do not have the right or the authority to amend what I said. Because contrary to what you think, being mayor pro tem does not make you the queen.
Point of order.
Councilmember Weber.
What's your point?
Courtesy. So, hey, Councilmember Weber's been called on.
So I read that the other day when I was going through this also and thought that was kind of odd, but if Councilmember Edelman wants to be on the record for, basically slandering other council members, that's fine. whatever.
Councilmember Morgan.
So on that note, I guess I would move that we pass these minutes as written.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next is the minutes for the Council Planning Commission joint work session on October 11th.
So I read these over, and I think that they should be approved as written.
Make a motion.
So I'll make a motion that they be approved as written.
Second.
As presented here.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now we have the work session for October 13th.
So I make a motion that we approve work session minutes from October 13th, 2016.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Hang. I have some discussion.
Councilmember Morgan.
The first thing that when I was reading these, obviously I can only read so many and then I get creative. So when I was reading them over, compared to other work session minutes, I have to say that I wanted to send out a kudos to May, because when she did her presentation, it shows on here really distinctly what was really discussed. She has these built bullets, and I really like that. But I was sort of, well, oh, and also another thing that I noticed, and it's just because it's appropriate because it came out now, was Mayor Benson shared that next year there's going to be a legislative change in the property tax. And I thought, my goodness, is this woman clairvoyant or what?
Okay. That's not exactly what I said. If you read this clearly, it says that this will be going to the legislature to change the property tax with the ceiling. I didn't say that it was going to happen. They've been talking about it for 2 years.
I know.
Call a question.
So I move that we accept these minutes.
Also. We already have that.
We're just voting now.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Council Town Hall meeting of October 13th.
I make a motion that we accept the Black Diamond Town Hall Council Minute meetings of October 13th, 2016.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mayor? May I make a comment?
Councilmember Morgan?
So I don't know what others think about this comment that I'm going to make, but I thought it was a little weird. I thought it was a little weird because it's described very distinctly what Mayor Benson shared in her vision for the community in this meeting as it goes forward. But other council members just share dialogues. Their vision isn't stated at all. And I'm going, is it that the mayor's vision counts more than other council members' vision counts? That's kind of what it looks like to me. It's not that I wouldn't pass them the way it is, but yes, I know. But that just seemed weird.
So the next item on the agenda is the council meeting of June 15th, 2017.
I move that we adopt the council meeting minutes from June 15th, 2017.
Second.
Councilmember Morgan.
I move that we hold these minutes, and the reason I'm moving that we hold these minutes is because they contain a public meeting, and I had asked for legal counsel about what sort of detail is needed for public hearings, and I haven't had a chance. Nobody's had a chance to get back to me on that yet.
You need to make an amendment to the
So
motion.
I'm making an amendment to the motion that we hold them for that reason.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No. But they get their way anyway.
Okay, do we have a department report? Public safety, finance? Okay, I attended the DARE graduation on June 20th. Sergeant Lynch
runs the DARE program. It not only deals with alcohol, drugs, and cigarettes, but they now include bullying, and the students love them so much it's an extremely tear-jerking event. And one of the teachers was leaving because her husband got transferred, and they did a presentation and gave her flowers and gifts. And it's just a very emotional thing that we still have a DARE program, and it's just very well accepted in our community. And I find it really heartwarming that they just love him. I mean, sometimes Sergeant Lynch seems like he's a real tough guy, but he's really emotional about this program, so I love it. And then between 6:20 and 6:23, I attended the AWC conference in Vancouver, and we won another reward. There was nobody that had zero claims last year, but we had our experience had dropped below the average, and there was only three people that got this certificate of excellence, and so we're going to be posting this somewhere in the council chambers. But anyway, it was presented at their annual meeting dinner, and we should be very proud because there was only three people of the 36 cities. And so,
what were the other two cities?
Who
were the other two cities?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. I just know I was one.
We only cared about us.
Got it.
Go on the AWC website and they'll tell you.
Do you have a report, Councilmember Deedy?
So I also attended the AWC conference in Vancouver, and this is my third year of attending that. Two of them with Mayor Benson and Councilmember Edelman attended this year. It's a really good conference. Get to go through a lot of different classes that we can pick. We got to sit through Attorney DiGiulio again. Awesome. Seemed like everything was pointed at us and everything.
Yes, and he totally disagreed with Ms. Kohler.
Yeah, so it was a really good conference. I attended the finance committee meeting with Janie Edelman and the mayor and Mae Miller and Shane. Let's see. I attended the swearing in of our new commander. I can't remember his name.
Cola Giovanni.
Write that name. So with Mayor Benson as well and Jenny Edelman. Let's see, the community-wide yard sale. If you saw that in your flyer, in your water bill this last week. So I have been wanting to do one for quite a while since I've been on the council, something to get the community, something a little bit different to get them, you know, together and bring people into our city to not only just shop at our businesses, but maybe just go around and spread a little cash to our citizens that they'll in turn spend money here in the city. So that is August 12th and the 13th. So we'll be getting a banner, and I'll be getting some flyers, working with city staff on getting that going. The mayor approved that, so thank you. We did get an email from a concerned citizen about banning fireworks, and we did have a discussion of this a couple of years ago and the ramifications. Now, I did watch the city of Maple Valley did ban fireworks in their city, but it did not ban fireworks. People still lit them off, and I watched Facebook, and it was all over the board. So the issue is that to ban fireworks, and certainly the council can relook at it, is that you then need to hire more patrol. More officers out here to run all over the city for every call that, hey, our neighbor just lit off a firecracker, or they're doing sparklers. Those are banned. Everything's banned. So then you got your firemen or your police officers running everywhere, and then you got your fire department going to calls, and it's just an overwhelming burden on your fire department, your police department. Your taxpayer money has to go to that for several days. You know, not only are they not supposed to light them before and after, but so our officers are busy on those days, but then on the 4th, it's just crazy. And I will be interesting to find out from Sean Kelly, the mayor of Maple Valley, how his police officers handled that and how they their fire department handled that with that ban and what their feelings are on how that actually worked out. So certainly the council can relook at that. Let's see. Miner's Day is this weekend, of course, so hopefully everybody will go down. I think it's from 9 to 4 or 10 to 4.
Well, they have some signs that say 9 to 4 and some that say 10 to 4.
Okay, so show up at 8. So that's good. So we'll be good.
But if you have a booth, you're supposed to show up at 7.
Yeah, so drop-in volleyball. I just want to let everybody know, you know, the gym's still going. Brock's still running it. It's a busy time. So we do drop-in volleyball every Wednesday night from 7 o'clock it starts until 10. And then we're there, you know, if nobody's there within 20 minutes, a half hour, we usually go home. Instead of waiting around all night for nobody to come. So please, if you think you want to play volleyball, come right around 7, 7:15, and we can get a team going. Generally, we get 2 to 3, maybe 6 people show up, so it's 3-on-3, 2-on-2. It's a lot of work, so we'd love more people to come. Also attended the DARE graduation, and I've attended it, gosh, I don't know how many years, and I just love the DARE program. Thank you, Jamie, for continuing it. And all our police officers that are involved, you know, Brian Lynch is awesome. The kids just love him. But we also have other officers that go in and help alongside Brian Lynch. So it gives the kids in our community a chance to get to know him. And as they're teens, they know who the officers are in town, and they feel comfortable approaching them. So a kudos again. I can't say enough about the DARE program. So thank you.
Councilmember Morgan.
Okay, I haven't done anything really formal, but I think that the good weather has brought a lot of citizens out. I've had just a lot of nice conversations with a lot of citizens all around town. And I did have this issue that I did hear about this issue with fireworks. What I can say and what I want to say about the fireworks that I thought was really pretty interesting, I don't know if you get it here in town because I'm not here. I have to be at home with my animals. But between midnight and 3 in the morning, the Muckleshoot Reservation turns into traditionally in the past, has turned into like a war zone. And they throw everything they have at it. And I do know people who have driven through there while that's going on. And it was very, 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 very exciting to drive through, especially if you were a veteran from live fire. Like, people couldn't go through there. But since this year, I noticed that the Enumclaw couldn't have their fireworks because the Muckleshoots told them that there was a $100,000 fine for interfering with an eaglet with these fireworks. And so they also, at the reservation, they didn't do it this year. It was very quiet compared to in the past. I only heard noise from town. So I don't know. Maybe fireworks is maybe we're to a time where we're making a transition. Once in a while when I hear about these fireworks, I think about when the people were first here, when it was time for the 4th of July, they go out and light a few stumps and start some forest fires going so that they'd have area to develop. A different time period.
Okay, I remember a long time ago when my in-laws and my husband have lived across the highway from the Muckleshoots, and there was a lot of stuff that rained down across the highway, and I'm talking like 40 years ago. So I attended the Keith Tim Memorial. It's been so long since we've been together. Then the DARE graduation, and again, Sergeant Lynch does a fabulous, fabulous job. These kids do adore him. And as the little kids, the little kindergartners and first graders sit in the front row, crisscross applesauce, they know that when they get a little bit older, they get to be those kids sitting up in front of everybody. And they would be very upset if it went away. Again, like they've said, I went to the AWC annual conference. Another comment I want to make, in addition to Mr. DiGiulio, who is always enlightening, we went to a seminar with Jim Doherty from MRSC, and his one comment was, yes, he answers the questions that are posed to him, but he always says, you need to check with your city attorney, because it's the city attorney who has all of the information about how your city runs. I also went to the Community Center Pig Dinner fundraiser. Tammy was there. Carol and Gary were there. And that was very fun. They doubled their intake of donations this year, so that was good. I met with Mae Miller and the mayor to talk about the vouchers. I also went into the swearing in of Commander Colo Giovanni. I think he is going to be, I looked it up. I saw the email. He is delightful. Yeah. He's very personable. He just appeared right from the get-go to fit in with our police department. So I welcome him and his family. His son and wife live in Preston and are expecting their first baby, hence dad and mom wanted to move out and be around this grandbaby. And also, his daughter-in-law made a comment, she was originally from Seattle, that when her friends have found out that Larry and his wife are moving to Black Diamond, it's like, wow, they've got that great bakery. So that is still our claim to fame out here. And then my last comment about the fireworks, because all of us council members and the mayor got the same email from a fellow in Morgan Creek. I don't have a major issue with the Safe and Sane fireworks. The Kiwanis, our local Kiwanis group, has their major fundraiser is selling those fireworks, and I don't have an issue with those. I do have a big issue with the stuff that the Muckleshoots sell. Especially at Lake Sawyer, we do a huge, huge fireworks display, and then for the next hour and a half, we have explosions going off, and the debris is not as bad this year as usual, but if people would take the money that they spend on that fireworks at the Muckleshoots and donate it to the community center that needs money or donate it to a charity, I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. There's a better use for that money than blowing up stuff. So anyway. And I do plan on being at Miner's Day and probably going to be there and help set up.
Councilmember Weber.
I'll make this relatively short. I guess as far as the firework thing, I'm a typical guy. I like to blow stuff up. That's kind of a touchy subject, I know, for a lot of cities to kind of grapple with. On the one hand, you've got the safety and the noise, because I've got two dogs, and they were just freaked for a day and a half. But like you said, there's also civic organizations that depend on that money to come in for stuff, especially the Kiwanis that stays here locally. So it's definitely a tough one that the citizens are going to have to kind of grapple back and forth eventually on. As far as the DARE graduation, my son Tyler went through graduation that you guys were at. Unfortunately, I had a presentation at work I couldn't get out of, but my wife was able to attend, and that's my second son that's went through that DARE program, and what they were saying, you know, when they're little, they're totally geeked to do DARE in fifth grade. I mean, he came home and he had a t-shirt and a certificate, and you know, both my kids really enjoyed Officer Lynch, so big kudos for him for sure for all these years of keeping that going and keeping the kids excited, definitely. So, yeah, definitely. So that's all I have.
Councilmember Pepper?
Yeah, I would say my neighborhood has a very enthusiastic 4th of July group. But I think they also clean up really well, and they did a lot of safety with the buckets of water and stuff. So hopefully... I didn't hear about anybody getting hurt or anything catching on fire, so that was good. I am interested in the arts, and there is something called the Creative Vitality Index that is run nationwide from time to time, and the 2015 stats show for Washington State in some of the creative arts industries are like photographers, writers and authors, musicians and singers, graphic designers, interpreters and translators. The top two, Washington State Vitality Index, which is the creative group, the software publishers brought in $13 billion in internet publishing, $2 billion dollars. So they're not brick and mortar, so maybe that's something that we, you know, a lot of people are thinking about, stuff like that. The governor signed a creative districts legislation, and I'm not sure how that's going to play out. But, you know, Black Diamond has a lot of community events that might play into something like this at some point in the future. I'm not sure how it'll play out. So that's pretty interesting to me. And I am going to be at Miner's Day walking the 5K. And if anybody wants to walk with me, sign-ups are up through the day, through the morning. So I am definitely walking, just one foot in front of the other. So that's all I got.
So is there an attorney report?
No, I do not have a report.
Thank you.
Mayor, may I make one more comment?
Yes.
Back to the fireworks. One of the comments that I made to this gentleman via email is to check with his homeowners association. And I've never belonged to one, so mm-hmm. I don't know what the rules are, but maybe that's something that, you know, if different the HOAs want to get involved in somehow, that would be a way of dealing with some of these issues.
So it's now time for the second public comment. Those wishing to address council, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. State your name and city of residence. Gary?
Hello, Gary. Oops, didn't mean to get quite that close. Hello, Gary Davis, Black Diamond. And thank you, Ms. Edelman, for making the comments about fireworks. One thing that you need to think about, if a city's going to ban fireworks, the only way you're going to have any hope of making it work is ban sale of fireworks within your borders. Of course, people will just go out into the county beyond, but at least you're not trying to have it both ways. Because every time, anywhere I've been where they haven't done that, it's always caused problems. People that want to have the fireworks are going to go get and buy them anywhere they can get them. But at least if you don't have them for sale within the city, it cuts down on it a lot. But at the same time, I feel for the civic organizations that use the fireworks for a lot of their fundraising. Hopefully a middle ground can be found. It's just, don't go banning them if you're going to permit sale. Now, there are exceptions to that, of course. If you have a sudden change in the weather and it just gets too damn dry to allow anybody to set off anything, that's a different set of circumstances. But thank you for listening. You have a good evening.
Is there anyone else wishing to address Council Keith?
Keith Watson, Black Diamond. Just a little clarity on Miner's Day. Across the street at the gym, the city gym, and Saturday morning we're going to start a 5K race walk at 9. And then down on Railroad Avenue, the vendors will be opening at 10. So if you're in the race, come down at 10 and enjoy. It's going to be a fun time. It's a little slapstick as far as we're celebrating the Roaring Twenties and something called bootlegging. So yeah. Come and enjoy.
Thank you. At least you clarified the hour thing. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Leslie?
Leslie Cooley, Black Diamond. And again, I'm disappointed in the way the agenda came about, because not only did we change the agenda at the start of the meeting, but we added stuff to it at the end of the meeting. So please, 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 I urge the council, the full council, to meet, discuss what you need to discuss, get the agenda items to the city clerk 9 days ahead of the next meeting, like your council rules say. Either version of the council rules say 9 days ahead of time, so the citizens get it Friday so we can review the items. Don't bring things at the last minute and add them to the agenda, and then don't bring things partway through the meeting that you knew about at the start of the meeting and add them to the agenda. I'm also confused on the vouchers, why you would not meet with Mae Miller ahead of time, go over the questions in a timely manner, not the day of the meeting, and pull things. And as far as the MDRT contracts, as I recall, those came up for renewal last fall. There was an RFQ that went out. There were decisions made about those contracts. The majority council tried to amend the terms of those contracts. And then nothing has happened with those contracts since then because of the arbitration that's happening with the development. But are you, as a council, trying to prevent all of the work that was agreed upon by previous councils in the development agreement? Because that's what it sounds like you are trying to do. And that is violating what you just added into the agenda as far as upholding all of the contract terms that have happened. So I'm really, really confused why you would do that, why you would force the potential of additional lawsuits against the city for not paying for services that have been provided, particularly with the development agreement where it is passed through, funded, agreed upon with the developers in the fall, or actually summertime in the budget, of what they will pay for and what will be done during the year. So that just seems wrong. Thank you.
Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I'm from Bellevue. And I grew up on Roberts Drive here in Black Diamond. I have a couple of comments related to that. First, I'd like to mention that Roberts Rules of Order spells it out very clearly about how one calls the question. Perhaps the parliamentarian that the council contracted for last December could come and give a presentation, that when you call the question, for example, you do have to have the floor and call the question as a motion that is to be voted on immediately when someone calls the question, and actually the vote ends debate, not you don't vote on the motion that was under discussion, you vote on whether to end discussion. You do have to have the floor again to call the question, so the person who's speaking gets to finish speaking first. Regarding Roberts Drive, I've been observing the waterline project that went in there and some of the conditions of the construction, and I noticed that more recently a silt fence went up next to a wetlands that's kind of near Roberts, near the community garden, going a little ways towards the library. And I assume that was due to the fact that there was a report submitted by Dr. Sarah Cook at the after citizens were concerned that the wetlands wasn't identified, and think that silt fence is in good condition. But some of the other silt fences down around the Rock Creek Bridge look like they're getting worn over time, and there is still construction to come. It hasn't been raining. It's been nice and sunny, but certainly we could still get a rainstorm. And so I would urge the city to look into making sure that those are in good working condition, and that if we were to get an unexpected rain, that no pollution would enter Rock Creek. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? James.
James Stout, Black Diamond. I am confused about the agenda. If it's to be submitted 9 days before the meeting, why is it allowed to submit things at to change it at the last minute and also during the meeting? I don't know about that. And so is there an answer to that?
There is. You can add and take things off of the agenda at the meeting.
Okay.
It is correct to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Deedy.
The three council members here would, there is a list. I think there's still a list on the city website that shows items that are coming up to the next council meeting. Mm-hmm. The public can look and say, okay, these items are coming up for this month. So the council also has an opportunity to look at that and see what items are coming up, even before
the 9 days.
Yeah,
okay. So with that being said, since many of the council work 40 hours a week on the council, I'm just kind of shocked why they wouldn't, those of you who work 40 hours a week on the council, have to wait till 10:45 the night before the meeting to submit your amended agenda. I have no concept of why that is, since I guess those of you who are spending 40 hours a week are not using your time wisely, and that needs to be corrected by all those individuals who are doing that. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Bob? You were behind the attorney's head. You had to lean over so I could see you.
Yeah, I was trying to hide. Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. I know you were all hoping I'd be speechless at this point, that I should be. But just a few things. Kristen is quite right about rules and ending debate. The council, in its wisdom, changed the rules to allow a simple majority to end debate rather than a supermajority as previously required. That's pretty nasty. When I asked Dardowski why, he said it was to prevent a filibuster. It's amazing. Changing the agenda, that was a sleight of hand that we had at the beginning, is when the agenda gets established for the meeting. And I don't have my Robert's Rules of Order handy, but as I recall, it then takes a supermajority to change the agenda during the meeting once it's been approved. So in this case, we had this motion come up out of the blue, added to the agenda, and I don't remember if that there was even a vote on adding it to the agenda, but it happened. Reading that motion, it says the City Council of the City of Black Diamond authorizes action. That who is authorized the action? This is a... I've read a lot of absurd things come before you, but this one takes the cake. So action has now, by motion, has been authorized to take place. Thank you, God, for allowing us to take action.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, we will close this public comment section. I would entertain a motion. We do not have an executive session. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.